Thank you for listening to the sermon podcast from Grace Anglican Church of Grove City, Pennsylvania. Our goal in every sermon is to proclaim the bold truth of the Word of God, especially the undiluted grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to learn more about our church, check out our website at graceanglicanonline.com.
One man come in the name of love. One man come and go.
Why is this night different from all other nights? In a traditional Passover meal still celebrated by Jews throughout the world, that is one of the four questions that the youngest child in the family is given the duty of asking during a specific part of the supper. So at the appropriate time, the child is to ask the head of the household, Ma nishtana halayla hazah makol halelot. And I'm glad Ben Jaffone, our Hebrew scholar, is not here because I probably butchered it. It's been a long time since I've taken Hebrew, but it is, why is this night different from every other night? Well, the question opens the door for the child, indeed for all at the table, to hear what the Passover meal reenacts and celebrates, namely that how with a mighty outstretched hand the Lord God delivered the Hebrews out of slavery in Egypt. How about for us as Christians tonight? Why is this night, Maundy Thursday as we call it, different from all other nights? After all, it is a Thursday evening. We are here at church when typically we would be at home. Why is this night different? It's the question my youngest child, Laura Joy, asked me earlier today. Dad, what even is Maundy Thursday about? Well, in short, this is the night in which we hear and remember the events of the last night of Jesus' life, or at least the last night before he died and rose again 3 days later. You know, Jesus knew that it would be his last night before he died and rose again 3 days later. He knew that it would be his last night with his disciples before he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He knew that in less than 24 hours, he would be falsely accused, wrongly tried, unjustly condemned, and cruelly hung to die upon a Roman cross. He was aware of all that awaited. John puts it there right at the beginning of our reading. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, Jesus knew. Have you ever heard of a bucket list? That was all the rage, I think, 5 to 7 years ago. Everyone was talking about bucket lists. If you forget what it is or you never knew, a bucket list is the list of things that people want to do before they die. What would be on your bucket list? Go skydiving? Take the family for 2 weeks for a tour of Italy? Visit all the 50 states? The thing is, most people don't know when they're going to die. But Jesus did. He knew the hour. And he knew what would be the last night that he would spend with his friends upon the earth. And how did he choose to spend it? What was on his last night bucket list? There's a phrase that I think overarches it all, and it's really struck me the last couple weeks. A phrase I find really stunning. He loved them to the end. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, there's some debate about what the word end means. The Greek telos is the word. Some would say it refers to the quality, the degree of the love. Love to the uttermost. Love in its fullest, highest expression. Or is it considered chronologically? Time. Which is to say, he loved them to the last nanosecond he was with them? I think it's both. And I think his love to the end is amazing. Because when the threat is imminent, when the massive test is the next day, when the unfathomable suffering is right around the corner, his love crescendos. And that's so different than my love. I don't know about you, but that's not my track record. When the pressure is on, when I'm feeling the heat, I tend to become very self-absorbed, kind of laser-focused on what I need to do to get through. I mean, how pleasant were you in the weeks leading up to your defense of your doctoral dissertation? You can ask your spouse if you're not entirely sure. Or the night before your big presentation. Or the day you're preparing to preach. Or during finals week. Or the night before you know you have a painful medical procedure the next day. Maybe you're different than I am. Jesus certainly is. Because what we encounter on his last night is not a man who is self-absorbed or laser self-focused, but rather one who loves them to the end. And as love does, this love is expressed in outward actions. And I'd like to briefly contemplate with you upon two of these outward love actions of Jesus on this night. First, at some point, as they are all gathered there in the upper room, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Now, I don't imagine this makes too many people's bucket lists, especially when we consider what this would have meant in the first century. We need to remember that the streets were messy, to say the least. If you had any refuse garbage from your house and you didn't want it in your house, you simply threw it out of your house into the street. Furthermore, animals were prevalent, a primary source of transportation, and when a horse or a donkey or a sheep has to go, if you catch my drift, and they very often do have to go, they simply go wherever they are. When we lived in Beaufort, South Carolina, we kind of encountered this on a regular basis, because if you go to Beaufort, one of the main tourist attractions is to take a horse-drawn carriage ride around the streets of the city, of the beautiful Beaufort by the bay. And when you had horses walking in the streets, messes followed. And people began to make quite the stink about the stink. So the city mandated that the tour companies had to hire cleanup crews that made sure any mess was cleaned up several times throughout the day. But you see, there were no cleanup crews back in first century Jerusalem going behind the animals. All that is to say that the streets were dusty and they were full of filth. And then meanwhile, you combine that with the fact that sandals were the footwear du jour. Put it all together, and before you enter a house and recline at the table next to Simon Peter's feet, you'd really hope they're washed beforehand. So the washing of feet was a necessary but unpleasant job, reserved for the lowliest of servants. And there were some Jewish rabbis that taught that a Jewish servant could not be forced to do this task. So the disciples enter the upper room. It's Jesus' last meal. He knows it. They don't. But I suspect they can tell something is askew, the way that your children can intuitively pick up when things are on your mind. They just can pick it up. And so they do what children often do in such situations. Some of the disciples become preoccupied with themselves and they act out. Luke tells us that on this evening, the disciples began to argue with one another over who was the greatest among them. It's your last night and your disciples are arguing who's the greatest. And let's remember that Jesus chose to spend his last night with these characters. And then let's also note that John draws our attention to the reality that Judas Iscariot's there. During the supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. These men are not at their finest here. Some of them are bickering. One of them plans to betray him. All of them think they're far better than they are and think they're never going to abandon him, and yet they all will abandon him that night, leaving him to himself to face his suffering alone. They aren't all that lovable at this point, are they? But he loves them to the end. Sometimes we're not all that lovable, are we? So he gets up from the table, he removes his outer garment, he puts a towel around his waist, he picks up a basin of water, and he proceeds to do what Jewish rabbis would say he should not do. He proceeds to wash the filthy feet. The Son of God himself on his last night washing filthy feet. Bucket list check. And as he does so, he demonstrates so clearly to his disciples and to us what is most important, what is loftiest, what is grandest, what God honors above all else, pouring out oneself on behalf of others, self-giving love, humble service, inverting the natural pecking order. And he wants them, and he wants us to know that we are to live by doing the same. That it is in this you find the greatest joy. A new commandment, mandate, from where we get mandi. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. But before they can do that, or at least try, they must first receive from him. I think I understand Peter's reaction. You shall never wash my feet, Lord. My feet are filthy. You are the Christ, the Holy Son of God. I will not allow you to stoop to such depths on my behalf. I think I understand that to some degree. We go to such great lengths to hide the filthy part of our lives from others, don't we? There are things we don't want anyone to see. What will they think? Will they reject me? But God knows them. He sees them. And he desires to cleanse and to forgive. Jesus is the King of Kings who willingly enters into our mess, our filth, our sin, so that the stuff that we would rather others not know about, and the stuff which really we would prefer him not to have to deal with. But unless he deals with it, we can't be clean. And unless we're clean, we cannot be with him. But unless he deals with it, we can't be clean. And so Jesus says to Peter, if you do not allow me to wash you, to serve you, you can have no part in me. Well, Lord, then all of me, then wash me all. Wash all of me, every bit. What about you? What about me? Will we remain standoffish to God? Not there. Don't see this. Attempting to hold him as if it were possible at a safe distance? Or will we accept his cleansing, his washing, even the filthy parts? Which brings us to Jesus' second great act on this night. At some point after the foot washing, he goes back to the table, he takes his central place, and then he takes the bread. And when he had broken it, he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. And he takes the cup and he says, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it in remembrance of me. And in these actions, in these words, he is pointing them to what will be his greatest act of pouring himself out on the behalf of others. For before the sun would rise and then set the next day, he will have suffered for his people, his body broken, his blood shed, winning forgiveness and eternal life for his own. Love to the end. Tonight, in short order, you will be invited to come to his table. And my friends, when you do, bring all of yourself. Even the dirty parts you don't want anyone to know about. Bring it all. For this Jesus still offers forgiveness and cleansing. His body was broken for you. His blood was shed for your sins. Because he loves you to the end. Why is this night different from all other nights? Because on this night we remember the heart of Christ. We remember that Jesus loved them to the end. And this same Jesus still does the same today. To paraphrase a great preacher, he loves us to the end. There is no exhaustion in that great stream that pours forth from his heart, no diminution in its flow. Scientists tell us that the great central light of our solar system, that great sun itself, pouring out its rays, exhausts itself. And in some 5 billion years will cease to blaze and will become a dead, cold mass of ashes. But the true central light, this heart of Christ, the very light of the world, will endure beyond the sun. For after the sun is cold, his love will last forever. He pours it out and has none the less to give. There is no bankruptcy in his spending, no exhaustion in his running, no shortage in the cupboards of his heart. And it is upon this great truth that we can rest secure this night. For knowing that he really does love you to the very end is what truly makes all the difference.
They took your life, they could not take your life.